Good morning. You're tuned into the M&M Show. That's Maria in the morning. The time is now 7:08, and I'm your host, DJ Fantel, better known as Navy Petty Officer Maria Alvarez. And as promised, right here in the studio, I'm joined by Chaplain John Shelton. Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. All right, it's the hard-hitting, like, Sailor of the Year, Maria Alvarez. Man, so thankful to be here. Thank you for having me.
No, of course, of course. He just found that out, guys. I mean, you already know. I shared it with you on air. Don't think you're missing out on anything. So, Chaps, what are we going to be talking about this morning?
Yeah, so, you know, we chaplains oftentimes get a good opportunity to help walk with people through some difficult times in their lives, and they come in for counseling pretty regularly. And sometimes some of the big issues in life aren't necessarily caused by all of the circumstances at work or family, but sometimes they're kind of, I want to say, maybe easier fixes. It could be nutritional, right? For a lot of people, it's really bad sleep. It could be causing anxiety, lack of energy, which sort of snowballs into other problems. And so over the past several years, I just try to pick up as much knowledge as I can from doctors and, you know, podcasts and TED Talks, and trying to read some of these articles on how to master your sleep. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Hopefully it gets you some good facts and maybe some good resources to look into.
Yeah, of course. That sounds awesome. Definitely something that I feel like a lot of people would benefit from knowing. And before we get into all that and we talk about mastering your sleep, all the tips, tricks, you know, the psychology possibly behind it, I do want to go ahead and ask you our question of the day. So it's Film Friday, and we want to know, if your life was a movie, what genre would it be and why?
Oh, goodness. Well, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I'd hope it'd be something like, is it Will Smith movie named Pursuit of Happiness? Was that Will Smith?
Yeah, that was Will Smith. Yeah,
it's a genre sort of like that, where, you know, maybe it's like you encounter a bunch of difficulties, but hopefully in the end, you know, you achieve what you're working for, which that would be great. So maybe that will be the case. I don't know yet. We'll see.
Yeah, so definitely like around that ballpark area. I'm trying to think of the name of the genre.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's not.
It's almost like a Rocky movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like you have to train super hard and work through some failures and this and that and the other. Yeah.
Exactly, but it's not like a drama. Like, it's like a combination. I feel like it has like a split genre, like a feel-good, like, drama something. I don't know.
What was yours?
Oh, so for me, it was a coming of age, because I still feel like I'm figuring things out the more I go, you know? I mean, I'm not as young as I once was, but, you know, I still feel like I'm learning something new about myself. So definitely coming of age.
Absolutely.
For me.
Okay, yeah, Socrates would be very proud. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing I know is that I just don't know enough. I don't know enough.
Absolutely. But Chaps and I, we want you to keep it right here. We're going to be talking about mastering your sleep. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Sigonella, the station serving you, America's best. You're just now tuning in. I have a Chaplain Shelton, and we're going to be talking about mastering your sleep. So, Chaps, what happens when you don't get enough sleep?
Yeah, so we all experience not having enough sleep. You just feel groggy and all these sorts of things. But there are actually some clinical studies and a lot of interesting scientific data that's available to all of us for free. You can read these medical journals online for free. You can listen to professionals, you know, neuroscientists, ophthalmologists, etc., like Huberman, this other famous guy does sleep studies. And the results of sleep deprivation are catastrophic. So these are a little crazy. So I guess in order to motivate everybody to study how to master their sleep, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the really difficult things of sleep deprivation. So, for example, there's an interesting study where they took men and gave them 5 hours of sleep per night for a few weeks. And over the course of this trial, they had the shrinking of their reproductive organs, essentially. And then they did a large statistical study finding people that just reported, hey, I get an average of 5 hours of sleep. And they found that they also had significantly smaller reproductive organs, and they had testosterone equivalent to men who were 10 years older than them, so much lower T. And women also had lower reproductive health with just 5 hours of sleep. So sleep, by the way, also affects memory tremendously, and people who don't get enough sleep have a really difficult time learning and advancing. So like pulling the all-nighter doesn't work. For example, one scientist mentioned that they could demonstrate that good sleep after learning was like hitting the save button on what you've learned. And it's also necessary before learning. It primes everything. So one of the sleep labs They did these MRIs on people with sleeplessness, and then they had this learning test. And they found that people just like could be regular things, like how to know your job or various things, advancing on this board. And they found that there was a 40% deficit in making memories if you had low sleep. And low sleep can be just like 1 or 2 hours less than what you need. And what you need is a little different for everybody, but usually it's around 7 hours. It's like the difference, and 40%, that's the difference between getting an A plus and an F, right? The hippocampus is that section of the brain which is tied to making memories, and it can be read on this MRI on a graph like how much it's working. People who had low sleep had almost zero activation of the hippocampus, which is really, really crazy. Yeah. That, and then age as well. Age, you know, as we increase, as age increases, sleep tends to get worse. And they always thought that was just a, you know, it was just interrelated, right? Or just coincidental, rather. But now they're realizing that it is interrelated, that poor sleep ages you more quickly. It ages your brain especially. And sleep deprivation, they have now found, is the most influential factor in cognitive decline leading to dementia. And so, yeah, for dementia patients, they're doing everything they can now to find ways to master their sleep and to increase sleep, even if it's like overdosing on safe, you know, supplements like melatonin, things like that. There was one other fascinating study. If only we had a time during the year where we could study the entire human population, sort of, half of the human population, to find out if sleep was decreased by a marked amount, would that have any health effects? Well, guess what? We have something called daylight savings time. And it turns out in the spring, when people on average get an hour to an hour and a half less sleep because of anxiety and getting up earlier, etc., there's a 24% increase in the world where those people are practicing daylight savings time, a 24% increase in heart attacks the following day and in the weeks to come. This study found that in the autumn, when you sleep an extra hour, there was a 21% reduction in heart attacks. Fascinating, right? And this doesn't happen in the countries that don't practice daylight savings time. Crazy.
Wow, yeah. By the way, those same
percentages are also true for suicide rates, traffic accidents. Sleeplessness sometimes can be, and you've probably heard this at a safety stand down, it can cause you to have reaction times similar to someone who is legitimately drunk.
Yeah, and
several other factors that we could talk about for the importance of making sure you're mastering your sleep. I don't have only bad news today. We have good news, but we're gonna give you the facts first to sort of help us to try to find a solution.
Of course. So when we come back, we are going to be easing into that solution and finding ways for you to master your sleep. You're just now joining us. So we've been talking a little bit about the negative effects of not having enough sleep. We're focusing on sleep deprivation because that's what that is. So now we're going to look at sleep loss in our immune systems, right? So how does that affect our immune system?
Yeah, so sleep is one of the greatest factors in protecting yourself through having a strengthened immune system. One of the main ways that your body protects itself from all sorts of diseases, especially cancer, is by these little cells called natural killer cells. You can Google it, natural killer cells. Think of them as like your body has this, you know, group of like 007s who basically find the perpetrators of crimes in your body and they eliminate them. And it's the primary player probably in eliminating cancer. And they found that sleep deprivation caused a significant reduction in these these natural killer cells. And the question that this lab was asking is, how much is it reduced? Well, let's give people 4 hours of sleep for just a couple weeks. Is it a 10% reduction in killer cell activity? No, it's a 70% reduction. In fact, sleep deprivation is now so clearly associated with cancer that the World Health Organization has classified, forgive me if you're a watch coordinator, the World Health Organization has classified night shift work as a carcinogen. Crazy, right? There was an interesting lab where they took a group of a few thousand people, and they had 750 genes which were studied in this, you know, genetics were studied in this study, and these participants had 6 hours of sleep for 1 week. Just 6 hours, which is, you know, seven is like pretty good, right? Well, these people only had six, which is not that big of a difference. 711 of the 750 genes were affected. half of the genes decreased their activity, the other half increased their activity. Guess which ones were the good genes and which ones were the bad genes? The ones that decreased in activity were the genes largely associated with immune function. So the ones that are responsible for keeping your body healthy, they like shut down largely. The ones that were increasing were associated oftentimes with tumors, inflammation, and stress, and thereby heart disease. So sleep deprivation really trickles down into every element of your health. And, you know, I see this so often, Maria, in counselees who are just, they're working way too much. They're not balancing their after work schedule, and they're not getting to sleep at a reasonable hour, and they're waking up and they're not getting great sleep, and their health habits, we call it, or it's called a sleep hygiene, are just very easy to improve sometimes. So we'll get into that a little bit in terms of this idea of how to sleep well. I'll go ahead and give you a cue. The two biggest parts of sleep, like if you take nothing, like if you're just tuning in, these are the two things that are the most important thing. By the way, one of them is really difficult to do in the military. The most important facet to sleeping well and to having increased sleep is regularity, which is to say, going to sleep at exactly the same time every day and waking up at the exact same time every morning. In fact, even in psychotherapy, they have found, well, not psychotherapy, but sociology, they found that the most successful people in the world, that's one of the traits that they almost always practice, is bed at the same time every night and waking up at the same time every morning. Regularity. The other one is having a cool room. And so apparently the human body sleeps best in 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Sounds super cold, right? But if you do that, it actually lowers your body core temperature by about 2 or so degrees, and it has tremendous benefits, which we'll talk about in a little bit when we come back.
Ooh, absolutely love it. Yeah, I agree with the cold thing because I have to have my room freezing to fall asleep. But we do want you to keep it right here talking about mastering your sleep. But first, got to get you that weather and exchange rate. You're just now tuning in. Chaps and I have been talking about sleep deprivation, and now we're going to switch over. We're going to focus on how to master that sleep. So we're going to talk about some ways that you can better your sleep and, you know, your sleep hygiene and such. So, Chaps, how do we tackle that?
Okay, so we've already mentioned that sleep deprivation can cause a tremendous number of difficulties for the body, and a lot of them are super nuanced. Like just an hour less per night can damage significantly your reproductive organs and the hormones associated with them, which are more than just your reproduction, right? It's associated with so much of your health and your wellness and your motivation and the way you feel and serotonin and all of these neurotransmitters, dopamine, etc., norepinephrine. So it's really important to learn how to fall asleep quickly and to stay asleep in the proper stages. It's really important to master all that. You don't have to know a lot. You just need to put in a few practices. We already mentioned that the most important thing, like the gold standard of sleep, is going to sleep at the same time every night and waking up at the same time every morning. So, for example, they have now found that you cannot catch up on sleep. There are a handful of reparative processes you can kind of catch up on in terms of general tiredness, but in terms of those deep help factors, apparently you can't catch up on your sleep. If you lost it, it's lost forever. For example, like let's say I'm just gonna work through this week and not get much sleep, and then on the weekend I'll catch up. You can't catch up on it. So regularity is the most important thing. Having a cool room, so many things are affected, including your body's natural production of melatonin, which apparently is slightly different from what you take in pill form. Your body has these natural like ways of producing melatonin that you don't want to avoid, if that makes sense. So a few ways to help you fall asleep. So this is something that I, as a chaplain, really thought was cool. But people in the scientific community, when they first started learning this, they're like, there's no way this is true. But here's this thing. There's this thing called yoga nidra, okay? It's been renamed by scientists to NSDR, which is non-sleep deep rest. And essentially, it's a meditative practice in which you are actively shutting down the, like you lay down, you relax, you close your eyes, you can go through a guided meditation, and you basically, and you can do this before bed, you basically shut down all of the muscles in your body, it's like you actively stop moving your feet and resting your feet and then your ankles and your legs. And if you've ever gone to a gym and you go to yoga, sometimes they'll do something like this. You may be, oh, that's kind of relaxing. Well, apparently those sorts of activities have extraordinary results in peer-reviewed scientific lab results in the peer-reviewed journals that they then write about them. It's really extraordinary. It teaches people how to relax. It essentially helps you activate the body parts to relax. There's a large study in Scandinavia showing that doing this greatly increased dopamine, and dopamine helps with other neurotransmitters like serotonin. Serotonin is a precursor to melatonin, which is our sleep hormone. Prayer, if you're a religious person, can work in a similar way. My sister, I asked her if she has a problem sleeping, because sometimes I have a problem sleeping. She's like, oh, it's easy, John. You just, if you wake up in the middle of the night, you just pray and you fall right back asleep. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe I need to be more boring in my prayers. We'll see. So dealing with anxiety before bed is another extremely important one for sleeping well. Now, anxiety could be caused by all sorts of things, and maybe you need a psychotherapist, a counselor, a medical doctor. Maybe it's a nutritionist you need to talk to. But if you don't have any reason for your anxiety, like nothing in your life is going wrong, it's just like, why do I have this anxiety? It really could just be a nutrition deficiency. Talk with a nutritionist. It's probably B1. That's the most likely candidate, and it's super easy to get natural sources of B1. But anxiety can also be dealt with these various therapeutic techniques. And this is something that you might find interesting, because some of these techniques were developed by our special forces folks. For example, as I understand it, a SEAL team practitioner who developed box breathing. If a group of warfighters are about to enter into a very dangerous situation, combat or something like that, and one of them says, "Hey, I need 45 seconds," and what they'll do is they'll take 4 seconds to breathe in slowly, 4 seconds to rest, and then 4 seconds to breathe out slowly, and they repeat that for like 30, 40, 50 seconds, and all of a sudden, even though it's not maybe curing the reason of your anxiety, it treats the symptom in the moment so that you can focus on the task at hand, even sleeping. And so they found that this particular exercise, when they change it a little bit, not box breathing, but basically it's just called long exhale breathing and facial muscle relaxation. It's called draping, where like you basically, if you wake up in the middle of the night, if you'll actively try to relax the muscles of your face, it will help you go back to sleep. And it's like almost like magic. I listened to a neuroscientist / ophthalmologist talk about this the other day, and he's like, when I first heard about this, I thought it was like, you know, magic. I thought it was like, you know, fairy tale stuff. And then all the studies were showing these sorts of practices, which, by the way, people in various cultures have been doing these things for various, you know, times and places throughout history. And we just sort of like, we're going to ignore all that and only deal with what we can prove scientifically. Well, turns out a lot of these things have some veracity to them, and now science is verifying that it's the case. And so, those are sort of some of the bedrock means of starting to sleep well in terms of breathing techniques, focusing techniques, and regularity and coolness. And then I guess for the last little segment, I'll just do like a machine gun rapid fire of the things to do, the tips and tricks that are all scientifically verified that might be useful to someone out there. It's like, oh yeah, that's probably my problem.
Yeah, of course. So keep it right here for tips and tricks of mastering your sleep. I'm here in the studio with Chaplain Shelton. We've been talking about mastering your sleep, and it is time, the final round of rapid fire of tips and tricks to, well, master your sleep. So, Chaps, what we got?
Yes, tips and tricks. You know, it's so fascinating that never apparently in human history has sleep deprivation been a thing until the modern period. No animal in the world suffers from sleep deprivation. It's only humans, and it's only in modern society that we cause this to happen. We say we'll sleep when we're dead, but it turns out that if that's your mentality, you'll just die sooner. You'll just be sleeping much sooner than you otherwise would, so to speak. It's so important. In fact, sleep deprivation is the most damaging factor in what's called all-cause mortality, which is your chance of dying from any particular thing. It's more than smoking, more than drinking, more than poor diet. Now, all of those things affect your sleep, by the way. So sleep's like the master key. If you master your sleep, it means you've mastered a lot of other things in your life. And here are the sort of rapid fire things to consider. We've already mentioned two of them. One, regularity. Two, you know, going to sleep same time, waking up at the same time. If you take nothing else from this talk, go to sleep at the same time, wake up at the same time. If you can do that, it will so drastically improve your life quality that that one thing will overshadow anything else that we say here today. The second thing, sleeping in the cool, we already mentioned that. Three, the third thing, if you're the sort of person who is falling asleep and you're thinking, hey, I have to do this thing tomorrow. I need to not forget that. Or you keep sort of like waking yourself up like, oh, did I do this? Did I remember to do that? Did I remember to do this? It can be really useful sort of trick or practice to, before you go to bed, like an hour before you go to bed, start winding down and have a little notepad. Keep it by your bed and just write down in short form like a few things like, I have to do this tomorrow, do this tomorrow, do this tomorrow, do this tomorrow. And you get really good at doing that list. And you have to kind of brainwash yourself. You tell yourself as you're going to sleep, if those worries pop up, you tell yourself, no, I don't have to worry about that. It's on the list. The list is worrying about it for me. I can just focus on sleeping. If you can do that, that's great. If you could do that at the end of the workday, that would be even better. But you get better at it the more and more that you do it. The fourth thing, regulate your melatonin in a lot of ways, and it largely has to do with light. So turning down the lights to be a little dimmer, the hour or so, hour and a half before you go to bed, tremendously affects how your body modulates melatonin, which is your sleep hormone. One of the things that helps that is infrared light. Now, none of the lights in your building are infrared. These are all LED. They're an incandescent bulb, like an old style bulb that, you know, the government's like, you can't have these, they're going to destroy the world. Well, apparently those are the only bulbs that have infrared light, so it'd be nice to have at least one of them. And if you can have it below your field of vision, like kind of like a low sitting lamp or sunset is ideal for infrared light, for regulating melatonin. Melatonin is helping, it's a hormone that can either help you go to sleep or help you wake up at the right times. And so modulating your melatonin through low light before bed is essential. Of course, you already know, we were talking about this before, you have a really terrible habit, Maria, how dare you, of screen time. You're Netflixing it right before bed. That blue light, it is detrimental. It can actually reduce your sleep effectiveness by 81 minutes if you're watching that screen right up to bedtime, which, by the way, just an hour to an hour and a half or 2 hours of difference can have all those horrible effects. Just that one little extra hour of good sleep is so important. By the way, people who have the blue light, they actually can still fall asleep pretty easily, but they usually, they lose the later stages of sleep in the few hours of sleep right before they wake up. That's where you usually get the REM sleep, which is most important for memory formation and a few other things. Fifthly, you got to catch the wave, right? If you're like getting really tired, and it's maybe a little bit before your normal time of going to bed, you're getting really tired, go to bed. Do it. Don't be like, I still have 30 minutes before I have my bedtime. Go to bed, because these sleep cycles come and go. And if you catch that wave, it will help you sleep well throughout the night. Number six, this is tough, especially for older folks like myself. You get more and more sensitive to caffeine as you get older. And for almost everyone, any caffeine within 6 hours of bedtime will have an equivalent of 1 hour of total sleep loss, which is dramatic. For someone like me, I probably need to go 8 or 9 hours. So like by midday, no caffeine for me. I'm 40 for your reference. Number seven, total blackout. It can be so important to have no little lights or anything. If you're someone who does TDY or TAD travel quite regularly, take some black electrical tape with you, because you know you're going to be in that hotel room and there's like flashing lights everywhere on the TVs and stuff. Either unplug them or just tear off a little piece of black tape, put it on there. The hotel will thank you for it, I'm sure. number eight, I wonder how many people do this. No pets in bed. So many bits of data and some clinical trials as well that found that pets in bed cause an inflated amount of wake-up times during the night. So I don't know. You don't have any pets, right?
I do not, no.
Okay. So it's super important. Pets are amazing. They're wonderful. We might receive hate mail for me saying this, but if you can go without pets in bed, that would be super helpful. Number nine, and we've only got 10. So number nine, physical activity daily. If you're noticing you're not sleeping well, maybe you had an injury recently, well, guess what? You're probably not exercising. You're probably not using up all those ATP reserves that your body's naturally producing every day. If you were somebody who worked out a whole lot as a kid, like playing sports as a kid, you might have enlarged mitochondria, and you need 20, 30, 40 minutes of moderately intense to intense exercise every day, or at least 5 days a week, in order to exhaust yourself enough to where you don't have all this residual energy. And you know, a lot of people with restless leg syndromes find that if they are able to maintain high level activity, they don't have those problems when they're sleeping.
Perfect.
And then number 10, and this is the one people are like, what can I take? You know, this is the one everybody wants. Supplements. Highly recommend. I mean, if you really have to, you can take melatonin. It will work. It's not habit forming. It's not toxic. There are some things about melatonin that might be really not very good for you. But it's freely available. It's over the counter. In a pinch, if you really need it, Sure, melatonin. But better than melatonin is glycine. Glycine is about 30% of collagen. Glycine is actually a precursor, even though it's an amino acid, it's a precursor, apparently, to helping to regulate these sleep hormones. Tryptophan is another one, and magnesium. As a side note, kefir has a lot of great probiotics that can help with regulating metabolism, that sometimes if you don't have that regulation, you can have metabolic interruptions that wake you up in the middle of the night. So there you go. Supplements, magnesium, glycine, tryptophan, and kefir. So there you go. You got to get sleeping well. And lastly, I just got to say, if you're having trouble with any of these things, you need a CHAPS to talk to. We are here for you. I'm not a sleep study expert, but I know some folks here on base who I can refer you to. So don't hesitate to reach out.
Absolutely love it. Thanks so much for joining me. Always a pleasure hearing from you, Chaps. Have a wonderful day.
You too. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you as well. Up next, we're going to be telling you about what to do in the case of an emergency. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Cigonella, serving you America's best.